Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We finish our sermon series on the Gospel of Luke this morning called The Doctor Will See You Now as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We'll be in chapter 24 of Luke, and we'll see two men devastated and discouraged at the death of Jesus. A stranger joins them on their walk back to Emmaus. He shows them the Old Testament scriptures about the Messiah. As they sit down to eat, Jesus breaks bread and gives thanks, and he starts to give them bread when they finally realize the stranger was actually Jesus. They were so excited that they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples that Jesus was alive. That news is still true today. Jesus is alive. We are all on the road to Emmaus. Some of us are walking away from Jesus, discouraged by the sadness and troubles of the world. Some have met Jesus and are living lives of joy and purpose. Some are telling others that Jesus is alive and can bring eternal life to them. The key is meeting the risen Lord face to face and believing in his words. Won't you join us this morning as we celebrate the resurrected Lord on the road to Emmaus? I promise you, you won't be walking alone. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and thank you for listening.
Our first hymn this morning is hymn 187, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna.
Children's choir sings Mighty Resurrection Day.
Thank you.
McLennan reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, The Doctor Will See You Now, Getting Your White Coat.
Will you please join me in the prayer for illumination? O Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for the faith and courage that inspired your ride into the holy city so long ago. May we find our place in that sacred story. Let your word lead us to the faithfulness, to deeper love, and to behold the discipleship in these days. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our first lesson today is from Psalms 118, verses 20 through 29. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become in my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the Lord's house is, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he made his light shine on us. With burls in his hands, join the festival processes upon the horn of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from Revelation 5, verses 11 through 14. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength, and honor to the glory be praised." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all of them saying, "To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. Here ends our scripture reading.
Thank you, Carla. Man, great to see everybody this morning, but I want to set something straight before any rumors get out there in the community. There was a family up here in the front, a whole row of family up here. And, you know, we've got a lot of guests here supporting their confirmands. And so I thought it was a family coming to support our confirmands. And so I introduced myself and I said, "Are you here for Aubrey's family?" And said, "No, we're here to see Jeremiah Mason." And I go, "Jeremiah Mason is next door." I said, "Chris, he's one of our guards. Jeremiah's one of our guards. Great guy, comes to our men's Bible study out there." And I did not want to take away from Jeremiah, so I said, "They're next door." I said, "I'd love for you to stay here. I don't want you to be disappointed," I said, "but your friend is next door." And so, you know, people saw me escorting them out. I was not bouncing them out of the church. All right, they did not take somebody's pew and somebody complained. Nothing like that, all right, so. But I'll have to check back in with Jeremiah and make sure his family got connected to him this morning on this special day. Hey, it is an exciting day. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 19 if you want to turn there. It's one of the few instances in Scripture, in the Gospels, that it's recorded in all four Gospels, the time when Jesus enters Jerusalem. And it's a time of celebration. I remember Betty and I, when we were first married back in the early 90s, we couldn't wait till Thursday night to watch ER. I don't know how many people ever watched ER on NBC. It was must-watch TV. And man, we loved the song. You know, that was where George Clooney really got his first notice. And we had our favorite characters, our favorite doctors and everything. But it was kind of a training hospital. So you had, doctors that had been there a while. But most of the time, they had new doctors come in, and they were trying to earn their white coat. They, you know, get all their study done. Get all the, their residency, get all the stuff done so they could earn that white coat so they could be called a doctor. I remember when my cousin Rhonda got her pharmacy degree and passed her board exam, and she got her white coat to be a pharmacist, and she's still a pharmacist today. And so when we talk about today, it is a celebration. It's when Jesus came into Jerusalem and people were celebrating him. It was the culmination. It was the high point of his ministry. And we're celebrating today five young people that are at the culmination of their 6 months of study. They put a lot of hard work in. We've had two baptisms over that. They've all done their statements of faith. They have really worked hard to get to this point, and I'm very proud of them. It's been a special class. But it is only not an end of anything, but it's the beginning. This is just a time that we're going to confirm you, but it's just the start of a process now that you've identified. You've raised your hand up and you said, I am a Christian, and this is what it means. And we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. But when we look at this moment here in Jesus' life, we see that as he comes into Jerusalem, it's a time for them to celebrate. 3 years of ministry from his special birth. One of the wise men brought gold to symbolize that Jesus would be a king, and he's coming into Jerusalem as a king. And so when we look at this special day that leads into a special week, it's going to be a long, tough week for Jesus. There's going to be some things that we can take away ourselves as well as these confirmands this morning. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 19, we're going to start with verse 28 and read through verse 44. It says, after Jesus had said this, he had just said a parable. And we've said throughout all the Gospel of Luke, the Pharisees are always following him. And this parable here is kind of the final nail in the coffin to them. He talks about at the end taking something from someone that had it and giving it to someone else. Basically, the Pharisees had the Messiah in their hand. They had the Word of God to show them where the Messiah was at, and they rejected him. And so Jesus is saying, I'm taking him away from you, and I'm giving him to these people that are accepting me. And it said, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Remember that now. This is the Passover. Thousands of people have come to Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire. The town is full, bigger than Branson on a weekend. People are all there wanting to celebrate together. And they had seen Jesus do great things, and they wanted to see him up close and personal. They said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, again the Pharisees, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, remember, this is a joyous occasion. This is only one of the two times we read in Scripture that Jesus wept openly. It says he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but is now hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's what this day represents. God's coming to his people. It is a fulfillment of a prophecy found in Zechariah chapter 9. It says, see, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Conquering kings would come into a town that they had conquered, riding on a horse with a sword outraised in victory. Jesus comes to Jerusalem on a donkey in peace to show them that he was not there to bring vengeance, not to bring death or destruction, that he was to bring peace. And it was the fulfillment of prophecy. All the people there would recognize exactly what was happening, that Jesus was coming. We read early in Scripture that they had tried to make Jesus king before, after he had fed the 5,000, and Jesus withdrew off to a private place because he said, it's not time yet for me to be announced as king. And as we said, all four Gospels record this event. It's Passover. Thousands of people have come from all over to celebrate this special event and get a look to see at Jesus himself. We see that it's 3 years of ministry. Jesus has done all these great miracles, all these great teachings, raising people from the dead, healing the lepers, healing the blind. And in fact, the story right before Luke chapter 19, you see it in almost all the four Gospels, Jesus heals a blind man. I think it's in the Gospel of Mark where they give us the name. Bartimaeus is the name. So people are excited. They want to see this great healer. But really, the people are coming to see Jesus and his companion Lazarus. When you read John chapter 11, the great story of raising Lazarus from the dead, read the rest of the chapter. Not everybody was impressed with Jesus. The Pharisees decided that it's time to put an end to this. They weren't just going to arrest him. They wanted to kill him and kill his buddy Lazarus. It says there that the crowd had been following him. They came not only to see Jesus, but they also wanted to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, because many people, many Jews were going over to Jesus and believing him. Man, a great crowd was coming. And they had seen all these great things happen. And what we have in Scripture is just a minuscule portion of what Jesus did. When you read the last two chapters of the Gospel of John, it says this about Jesus and all the things he did. He said, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in the Gospel of John. They're not recorded in my book. But the ones that are there are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He says, I didn't get them all. I just got a fraction. But what's written there, read it. Because when you read it, you'll believe it. That's why I challenge all of you, my five confirmants, everyone here, read Scripture. And we're going to talk about it in a moment. I'm going to give you a personal challenge at the end. Read it. If you've never looked at Scripture before and you said, I'm just here to support one of the confirmants. Once this is over, man, I'm heading to the Burger House. I'm heading down the flame. I'm going to get a good meal out of this deal today. Before you do that, before you kind of throw your eternity into the wind, read 260 chapters of the New Testament. Just see if it rings a bell in your mind or not. Because then in John chapter 21, the last two verses of John chapter 21, the last two verses of his gospel, he says, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. He says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. He says, I couldn't get them all. There's not enough paper, there's not enough books, there's not enough libraries, he said, for all the things that Jesus did. So this crowd that's coming to watch Jesus, they had been in the crowd. They had heard the stories. They probably had family members that had someone that needed healing, and they wanted to see Jesus. But when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he knew that he had a price on his head. He knew that all the people that were celebrating, this was not a time to sneak into Jerusalem. It was a time to be announced, but he knew that they were after him. It says at the end of John chapter 11, but the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it so that they might arrest him. Jesus didn't sneak into Jerusalem. Jesus came in courageously and bravely. He knew what was facing him in 5 days. But he says, I'm going to fulfill Scripture. And people are going to see God himself in flesh. And he says, I'm not coming in war, not coming in conquering and vengeance. I'm coming in peace, my peace. We'll talk a few more about that in a few minutes. And then we see at the end of this exciting, this celebration, people are shouting, Hosanna. We see Jesus weep over Jerusalem. Because Jesus weeps over people that reject God's invitation. So what can we take? What can these confirmands, what can we take away this morning from this story of the Palm Sunday, a day that we celebrate, we bring palms in and we're celebrating a group of five young people that made the decision that I'm going to follow Christ and this is my starting point forward. We see, number one, that Jesus is to be praised all through our lives, not just on Sunday morning. Jesus is coming in and people are giving him praise. The Pharisees say, hey, stop that, cut that stuff out. You're not to be praised. Jesus says, if you stop them, the stones are going to leap out and start singing Hosanna. He lets us know in every walk of our life that we need to find time throughout the day and the week, not just on Sunday morning, to give Him praise. Thank you, God, for the great God that you are. Thank you, God, for the one that gave me life. Thank you, God, for the things that you gave me. Thank you, gave me the opportunity to serve and live in your kingdom, because He is the spiritual king of our hearts. That's why we are to give Him praise all through our lives, and not just 1 hour per week. We see when Jesus comes in on a donkey that He is bringing with Him godly peace. Isn't that the way Jesus was announced when He was born? Peace on earth, goodwill to men on whom His favor rests. Jesus' last words to His disciples before He started out on the cross says, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives peace." It's not the quietness of a day. It's not the quietness in the evening. It's not maybe peace between two families. It's peace between a holy God and sinful humanity. It says until we accept Christ and we accept His sacrifice into our lives, that we are considered enemies in our minds toward God, that we're at war with Him. Paul writes to the Ephesians, he said, "He brought peace to those who are far away and peace to those who are near." And in Jesus, we all came together that we could have a relationship with a holy God. Jesus is announcing when He comes into Jerusalem, the war is over. We just have to accept the terms of surrender. That's what we struggle with, isn't it? The war is over. Jesus has conquered death. He has provided the sacrifice for sin. We just don't want to accept the terms of agreement, the terms of surrender. We don't want to submit to His authority. We don't want to accept His grace. We want to do things our way. But Paul writes the Philippians and says, "I give you the peace that passes understanding." That simple confidence in our souls, even when everything around us is chaos and the world looks like it's falling apart, God calls me His child, and that I have a holy relationship with Him through the death and resurrection of His Son. And that just as Jesus had a path, that God had Jesus had a path for Him to follow, He has a path for each one of you guys to follow. Each one is going to be different. God is going to call you to different places, the different situations. But don't get wrong, don't get it wrong. He is calling a path that you're going to have to travel yourself. That path is going to have days of celebration like this. It's going to have days of conflict like Jesus has with the Pharisees through this week. And it's going to have days when friends betray you and bad things happen to you. But we are reminded as we go down that path that we are God's workmanship, created to do good works in Him. And each one of you have been created to do that. We say that there will be obstacles along the way. There are going to be friends that don't like your decision now to name Christ and to follow Him and say, "I've got a different set of priorities." There are going to be friends maybe that make fun of you. If you pull out your phone and you're reading your Bible app, or if you have your Bible, there may be people that make fun of that for you. You may not get invited to some of the parties that other friends get to. They may call you different names. There's going to be obstacles along the way. There's going to be expectations of you. And that's where we struggle with Christ, isn't it? We have expectations of what Jesus is going to do in our life and how He should handle things that happen in our life. And when He doesn't meet our expectations, just like the people that were there on that Sunday, that day when Jesus came in on Palm Sunday, would be the same ones yelling, "Crucify," 5 days later. I don't know about you, Chris, you didn't have to do it because you were the Roman guard. But Lanny, I don't know about you, but it was hard to yell, "Crucify." We were the voice. I was Simon the Zealot, he was Philip. But we had other parts off to the side. We yelled "Crucify" and some of the other things on the side of that play. Just give me an inside look, because you know I'm an actor now, so I can give you an inside look of those things. But those same people that had these expectations of Jesus that He was going to come in and overthrow the Roman government and the Jews were going to take over, by 5 days later, Jesus had not fulfilled their expectations, so they were ready to turn on Him. Doesn't that happen to us? Relationship doesn't work out. A loved one dies suddenly. Job's not the job that we wanted. Things are not going the way that we want. "Jesus, you're not fulfilling me the way I want. I'm going to go somewhere else and find someone else." That's going to happen with you guys. You're going to have times in your life, in your walk, just like all of us have here had this morning, when expectations of Jesus, expectations of God, and we don't match up with His plan for us. But what we find all through this process is that God is always with us. He promises us through the Holy Spirit to never leave us, never forsake us. And that when those times come, that we need to pray for strength and growth and continue to grow in our knowledge. As I said, there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. Betty and I counted them last night. I encourage you all to read through the New Testament this year. You guys have already done the Gospel of Matthew, I think, in Philippians is what we told you to do for now. So you guys are kind of ahead of the crowd. But read those 260 chapters. See for yourself. Decide for yourself. Don't let another person 20 years ago who did not meet your expectations of a Christian turn you off from what has been written in the Word. Make that decision for yourself. And for this class here, I encourage you, read the whole New Testament this year. You know the books of the Bible. I could call one of you up here, I'm sure, and you could recite them just like that, couldn't you, Emma? But I encourage you to shake your head yes. So just say yes. All right, there you go, just like that. But I encourage you all to be in Sunday school class. Make sure high school Sunday school class is a regular part of your week. High school youth group. There's a Fellowship of Christian Athletes group at the high school. Make that a regular part of what you support at the high school. Make this a time of growing, because when we see Jesus weep at Jerusalem, he's weeping because he knows there's people that have rejected a relationship with God and that they will spend eternity away from his presence. I think that's an encouragement and motivation to you and your friends. The reason I'm in this pulpit today, a big part of it, is because a friend invited me to church. Invited me to a swimming party, to a bowling party. He invited me to church. Is there someone that you guys can invite to church? And 40 years later, have them standing in a pulpit and give you thanks for being the ones that invited them. Jesus weeps over people that reject the invitation that God gives them. Do we weep the same way for family members and friends and neighbors that are far away from God and we have the opportunity to share with them? Because as Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey in peace, there's going to be a day when he returns as a mighty warrior on a horse in victory, and then it's going to be too late. Do we carry with us that sense of sorrow to share what we have now with others around us? So when we stand before the throne, when we walk from this life into eternity, that we do not walk alone. See, confirmands, you have the responsibility now to duplicate, to bring someone else along with you, for someone to enjoy the privileges and the things that you've learned now to be the mentor and disciple teacher of them. And he encourages us to be faithful. All of our confirmands did a great job with their statements of faith. I remember one statement from Brooks, because his was the last one, that he not only wanted to have this for himself, but he wanted to carry this on with his family, his future family. And that's the hope and prayer that I have for each one of you here and for all of us here, that this does not stay with you. This is just not a one-day celebration. That's a lifelong journey to eternity. The song that I picked this morning is All Glory, Laud, and Honor. And as you read scripture, as you read through there, you got questions. If you've never made that decision of faith, Paul wrote the Romans. He said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's my invitation to you. These ones here have made that decision. Why don't you make that decision today? Let's sing this morning, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.